In an upcoming episode, as part of a series covering autism and the basal ganglia, there is an autism and Parkinson's episode. For now, just think of the basal ganglia as our go-no-go area. We'll cover that more in detail during these episodes. Sometimes I feel like this data that we're parsing out here are looking at us right in the face, and we do nothing. We miss it so badly. It is so much that I envision a lost party shooting up flares or writing SOS or help even on the beach, and we don't have eyes on it. There is a pressing issue in the future of autism and Parkinson's regarding how vulnerable autistics are for various dementias. While covering autism and Parkinson's, I can't help but mention something that is so simple. But for whatever reason, it's neglected or ignorance, I'm not sure, but it prevents any valuable connections. In autism, we are already on a path of Parkinson's. It's essentially a precursor to Parkinson's. We have problems in the so-called indirect pathway of the basal ganglia. In the episode of autism and Parkinson's, we'll parse out the direct pathway, our go area, and the indirect pathway, our no-go area, in more detail. But for today, there's a concern outside of that, and that is thyroid. Several things here are undisputed with autism, undisputed with Parkinson's, and undisputed in both the autism and Parkinson's research, such as that indirect pathway. Now, if you followed along, and this is no shot against them, several guests have come on and mentioned how hypothyroid is a biomarker and a risk for autism. Risk the offspring. Okay, so data are impressive on this. Those guests were not wrong. And in Parkinson's, thyroid is a biomarker of Parkinson's. Undisputed. This is well researched. If we parse out thyroid being synthesized from tyrosine and talk about the hypothalamus, the body's control center of hormones, the start signal for the hormones, essentially. It's a hormone controller. It signals to the pituitary for thyroid functioning. And then we can talk about T3 and T4. The iodine are involved here for the 3 and the 4. If you look at supplementing iodine during pregnancy, it's also used to mitigate the risk of autism. This stuff is pretty basic. If we begin to travel into our biology and parse out the synthesis of tyrosine's involvement in both dopamine, which is well-researched, this molecule is well-researched in Parkinson's. It's probably the front runner. And tyrosine's involvement in melanin. Okay. Recently, there's been more involvement with neuromelanin in Parkinson's. And this is the right track. The reason why the substantia nigra in the basal ganglia, the reason why this is black is because of the neuromelanin. It's not really disputed either. This is all accepted in the research. I question the knowledge of melanin within autism research. So the first question I want to ask is, what do you think neuromelanin is? Thyroid's involvement in autism and Parkinson's is the flare being shot up right in the face of us. If you say Parkinson's is a disruption of dopamine in the substantia nigra and not having an ability to orchestrate these different go-no-go areas with D1 dopamine or D2 dopamine, excitation inhibition, that's partially in line with what we're talking about. This is well accepted. What is missing, though, is the true synthesis of these molecules and the environmental signals that are required. This is where we lose track. This is where people get confused, but it's not that complicated. Two different things that explains these problems, both autism and Parkinson's, is a loss of or a lack of energy from the environment. Now, we have to understand tyrosine, the aromatic amino acid, being a UV light detector. Absorption and emission of 200 nanometer to 400 nanometer light. That's UV. UV ranges. That's not complicated. If we talk about the synthesis of tyrosine into thyroxine and the relationship of the iodine for T3 and T4, it is somewhat understood and accepted. We can parse out T3 and its roles. Now, here I'm going to read some notes from the episode on autism and Parkinson's. For T3, brain development. So during fetal development and early childhood, T3's role here is huge in cell differentiation and migration. Two very well understood and accepted facts about autism, well-researched items. Another thing is maturation of neurons. Autism, at its core, is a collection of underdeveloped cells. Neuronal activity. T3 regulates gene expression in neurons. And this affects neurotransmitter synthesis, receptor expression, and synaptic plasticity. All well understood in autism research. Neuroprotection effect, okay. Neuromelanin here is huge with the neuroprotection as well. But this has roles with reducing oxidative stress. So here we're probably talking a lot of mitochondria, which we'll talk about a lot in the episode. And the metabolic rate of neurons and influencing energy availability. So this has implications in neuronal firing, and maintaining neuronal health. In the episode, we'll talk about the clock timing, which is one of the factors. The other factor is the energy. So two different things here, the timing and the energy. This is what we need to really parse out. So what regulates these? It's not complicated. It's really not that complicated. Synaptic transmission is huge. With the gene expression. So T3 can alter the efficiency of the synaptic transmission. And here we're talking about, especially with the roles of the basal ganglia, with learning and memory. This is huge for learning and memory. But this is also huge as T3 helps regulate this, helps conduct this. Now, what is missing in all of this that is so simple, is a signal from the environment, and that is light. The second question I want to ask you, and I will leave it at that, is what do you think light is?